Okay, we're finishing up this chapter on page Samaches, the last paragraph. That's in Os Pei Zayin. It's number 87. And then on the table is going to be the sheet for the next chapter. Okay, Hanakuda Rishona Shezacharnu. This first point that we mentioned. So we're just, again, he's reviewing what we've been up to. And he said he reviewed what the purpose of a Jew is, to get close to Hashem. What is that? It's a deep spiritual connection. It's a life that everything revolves around Hashem in time, place, and circumstance. So then the final points to remember, HaNekuda Rishonah Shezacharnu, the first point we mentioned is, Shal Adam Lizker Sheyes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person has to remember that there is Hashem, and that's the first activity, to keep thinking that there's Hashem. L'achem Mikein B'Rairu, and afterwards we explain, Shemutal Adam Lizker B'chol Dover Shunivra Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu, a person has to remember in all aspects that he is in everything, that he is a creation of God, and there's a Mahalach Shal Borei V'Nivra, and there's a pathway of understanding that there's a creator and a created. And now he adds a new point that will really lead us into the new chapter. Lorak Bora Be'avar, he hasn't merely created us in the past, but he has created us presently. He creates us presently. As it says in our davening, Yotzer Oru Vorei Choshech B'Lashon Hove, the one who fashions the light and creates the darkness. We say this every morning in the Hove, in the present tense. He keeps doing it. K'mo Shekosuv B'Svar Makadoshim, as it writes in the holy books, Shebechol Rega V'Rega, at each and every moment in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mechadesh Es Nivrov, Hashem renews His created world. And that we see so obviously now from science, how the electrons and neutrons are running around inside, in the atomic structure of everything. Things are moving at every moment. And God, what's making them move, if not Hashem? He's recreating that reality every moment, for life to exist, for things to exist. Hare shahamahalech shel borei v'nivro eino inyan shel avar greater. This whole pathway of creator and created isn't only a past experience. Elo mahalech tamidi mamish. It's a constant path. It's always happening. V'avodas ha'adam lahavchin kol dover kinivro shel kadosh baruch hu. And the service of a person is to understand that everything in this world is a creation of God. He should feel the creator and the created that is in every aspect. To understand this relationship that is going on, that everything we look at, it is presently being created, and there's a creator who is creating it at all times. And that's the critical step that has to be the conclusion of this chapter. Okay, we move now to the next section of the book. Emunah, the next step of belief, is Hashkocha So Yisborach Shemo, is His divine supervision, how He looks after things. To that we move on to page Ayin Aleph and Sif Peches, number 88, paragraph 88. That's the new sheet that we just got hot off the presses today. Last night, hot off the presses last night. Hashalav Ashlishi Shebo Naasok Ato, the third level that we are going to be engaged in now, Hu Hanhagaso Yisparach Shemo, is God's conduct in this world, His supervision of this world. Mavur Besvar Makadoshim, it explains in the holy writings, Shehayu Ka'elu Sheshagu, there are those who made the terrible mistake, V'savr Shetchila Kadosh Baruch Hu Boras Olamo, they figure that God, in the beginning, created the world, Ulam le'achar mikein, but afterwards, hu heiniach es hanhogas ha'olam lahanhogas ha'kochavim ha'mazolos. He left the conduct of the world to go, to be conducted by the constellations and the stars. They would run the world. He gave up the world. He said it and forgot it. Ulam, but the truth is, hu yisparach shemo, ulam, hu yisparach shemo, azav l'garmes hanhogas ha'olam, and that God abandoned the world totally the conduct of the world he abandoned, and he has no connection with this world at all, God forbid. There are those who make that mistake. There's no connection to the world now. So, and that's people figure. There are other forces controlling this world. So people made that mistake. And the Baal HaTanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, and others say that, you know, what was once in a primitive, well, not primitive, in an ancient world, people worshipped constellations, and they felt that they were directing things. So in modern times, those ancient idols have been replaced by a more modern idol, which is called money. It's called money. Why? Because when a person believes that there is another source that's responsible for his life, for his sustenance, for his happiness, right? That is a form of idol worship. If you're putting your trust in anything other than Hashem, that's a form of idol worship. And people really put their trust in the amount of money that they make. So I wrote a few examples of people, and it subtly has a way of breaking into our life, creeping into our life, and we begin to look at our lives through the eyes of idol worshippers. And many of us suffer that. So, for example, first of all, the efforts we make to get access to that money is incredible. If we would make that kind of effort to get close to Hashem, as much as we did to make money, we'd mamash be tzaddikim. We'd be tzaddikim. If we'd think about Hashem as much as we think about money, we'd be tzaddikim. All right, that's number one. But the attitudes that we have. For example, you know, you hear people say, you know, well, we have X amount of kids, and we decided not to have a third kid because we can't afford it. Can't afford it. I'm not saying that there aren't times where people maybe have to limit how many children they have. Somebody's not well or whatever. But if the reason is for this reason, you know, we can't afford it, you know, then that's idol worship. Because what you're saying is, the money is what's going to provide for us. And without the money, there'll be no provision. So you're worshiping the idol of money. You're saying that the money is that which is going to provide for you. Right? And you're not saying that Hashem is the one that's going to provide for you. Right? If Hashem writes in the Torah, Pruravu, right? God gives you a mitzvah, be fruitful, multiply. Do you think for one second the God who created the entire universe, right? And the God who takes care of you every second, and your wife, and your kids that you have already, right? And he gave you a Torah, and he's giving you instructions how to live in the maximum way in this world. And if he says, has as many children as you can, do you think he's going to do that in a way that you won't be able to take care of them? Could you think for one second that the Creator told you to do something that's inimical for your existence? And if you're saying, well, if the bank account allows. So what you're saying is that the bank account decides what you do in life. Now, we're not saying sometimes the bank account does decide what you do in life, and those are very pragmatic things. It tells you, you know, not to be a glutton. Okay, and that's true. You don't spend things on foolishness. And that's good. That's the same things. But you don't even need the bank account to tell that. You need Hashem to tell you not to do that. In other words, when you have to make a decision and it involves money, there's only one criteria that has to be used, and only one. Is this the will of Hashem? That's it. You don't even ask if there is money or there isn't money. If you want to do something that costs money and it's not a nice Jewish thing to do, I'll leave it for everyone else to define what that is. Okay, but it's not the will of Hashem. Okay, let's take something really dramatic that everybody in the room will agree with. To pay a gay speaker $10,000 to speak on pro-gay in the shul. Okay? Okay? So, and there's money in the account. The shul has enough money. We have a sponsor. Okay? You don't show it. What do you mean? We got the money. That's not the will of Hashem to spend money in that direction. Okay, everyone will agree to me on that one? I mean, you could pick whatever else works out for you. You know, it's your wife's birthday, and you want to buy her a $25,000 ring, and there's money in the account. The will of God is not to spend $25,000 on a ring. That is not the will of Hashem. Get her a gift, but not for $25,000. Right? That's not the will of Hashem. Right? Even if you have the money, that's not the will of Hashem. If on the other hand, you don't have money even for a challah, for Shabbos, you buy it on credit. You buy it on credit. You don't have the money. Because the will of Hashem is that you have challah on Shabbos. That's the will of Hashem. You have to do what Hashem says. The money's not there. Don't worry. God's got a big credit line. And you're only taking it from His credit line, not from you. You make a mistake. You think it's your credit line. It's not your credit line. It's God's credit line. And just put it onto God's credit line. It's His problem. He has to deal with it. And He will find a way to deal with it. If you give Him a chance. If you say, well, I don't have the money. I'm not buying the challah. You know, you have to send your kids to a Jewish school. You don't got the money. Nonsense. You send them to the Jewish school. Finished. Then we'll worry about the money. We'll worry about the money. That's all. Well, you don't know. It doesn't matter. You have to send your child to Jewish school. There's no question. You can't raise a child in this world without sending them to a good, proper Jewish school. We don't got the money. That's not the issue. The money doesn't make the decisions of what you do in your life. Right, it's a Kaddish Baruch who decides what you do. He's got all the money, and He will find a way to get your kid in. Now you may have to beg. Okay, so I have to beg. So who needs COVID? You don't need COVID. You have to beg. You have to go to the school tuition committee and say, I don't have the money. Here's the books. I ain't got the money. You got to keep them in school. And if you have to take a mortgage against your house, then that's what you do. That's what you take a mortgage against your house. Because your kid has to go to Jewish school. That's all. What's going to be if one day we want to retire, we want to buy ourselves that nest egg? Don't worry about that. You have no guarantee you're going to even live till tomorrow. You need to worry about when you're 65 and older. But don't you have to be responsible and save money? The most responsible thing you have to do is raise your child from. And whatever it costs, that's what you're going to spend on it. Don't worry what's going to happen. Maybe it wasn't bashert for you to even live past 65. You know, and if it is, God will find a windfall somewhere else for you. That's all. It's not your problem how to find the money. God is the one who's going to get you the money, and there's no shortage of ways for God to get you the money. Now, of course, you don't do things that are ridiculous. You don't do things that are not a mitzvah, and then ask God to give it to you. Because God says, whoever asked you to get that, I didn't ask you for that. That's your problem. It's not mine anymore. Right? You buy a house that's more than what you need, and now you're having trouble making the payments. God said, you had a very nice house beforehand. Why did you get more? You got it for your own selfish needs? Then you go take care of it. That's not my will that you did that. But we make all these decisions based, because the money is the God. And the money is the one who decides that. You know, or you have a child who's in grade 12, and you're saying, you know, we're not gonna waste his time and send him to university, chas v'shalom, to yeshiva, chas v'shalom, right? He's gotta go to university as soon as possible and make the money. It's crazy. It's my much the craziest thing in the world. So what's gonna be? How's he gonna make up? Don't worry about it. All right, you know, he'll start university 2 years later. But he's gotta make it as soon, why does he have to make it as soon as possible? How are we gonna support? Don't worry. He's in yeshiva. God will find a way that he'll be fine. It's like every Narishkeit. People say every Narishkeit. And these are people who are Orthodox Jews. I'm not talking about secular Jews. Secular Jews, nothing to talk about. It's Orthodox Jews who decide how many kids they're going to have, decide not to send them to yeshiva afterwards. You know, and if they do, 1 year, all mamish, 1 year, that's mamish. You know, you got to do a good 3 years at least. You know, at least to see, you know, and if he's talented in it, you go more. Hashem will take care. It'll work out. There'll be a plan. But the money doesn't say so. Okay, so stop worshiping the money already. That's the thing. That is, you're putting your trust in everything else. You have to do it. But the rule is, what God wants you to do, you do. Now, you don't have to, you know, go for the most expensive yeshiva. You don't have to go for the Ivy League yeshiva that charges $30,000. You can go for, you know, state-run yeshiva, you know, at $6,000, $7,000. You know, you don't have to have whatever. You know what I'm saying? You know, you have to, you know, be reasonable in these areas. But there's no reason why you can't do that. So that's who people, they believe in Hashem. They daven to Hashem three times a day, but they believe it, they worship the sun. They worship that which glitters, the gold glitters. So that's what they worship, and they worry about it so much. Hashem doesn't want you to spend so much time worrying about it. You make your reasonable effort, and then you go to bed, and you know, tomorrow the debt will still be there. And that's all. And you let Hashem worry about the debt a little bit, and you don't have to worry more about that your kid grows up to be a frum kid. Worry about that. Spend time agonizing over how are we going to make sure that he knows how to learn Torah and loves Judaism. And you know, the money, let's not worry about the money. I mean, certain things you just, you know, you don't want to waste your time on. You know, you get your monthly bank statement. You know what? Don't waste your time doing a reconciliation with it. 99.9%, it's going to be fine. You know, and if it's not, you know, it's not worth the hour and a half that you're spending on it every month. And if you're worried you're going to lose a few bucks, God will make sure that you'll get it. But make sure you get it. I'm not talking when you're in business and you're dealing with people trying to connive you and you have to, can't be silly. But, you know, you get that monthly statement. You think I save every check and I check off every check, you know. You know, it's all computerized, you know. And they're going to make a mistake once, they make a mistake once. It's a big deal. The money will come otherwise. You know, go try it. Go try it every month. You're gonna find out it's always balanced. You're gonna save every MasterCard bill at the end of the month. Go check the 85 MasterCard bills against that and check this. You know, don't worry about it. Oh, we found 26 cents. There was a $30 purchase, wasn't there? And in a year you'll spend hours and hours and hours for that dumb $30 purchase, you know. Okay, yeah, you know, of course, you give it a cursory look. You know, if there's an $8,000, if your MasterCard bill 1 month is $26,000, and you're normally getting four, five, six, seven, then you're going to take a look. You know, there is an obvious mistake. Okay, and you'll find that right away. But otherwise, just don't worry. Stop worrying about the money. It takes care of itself. You do what you have to do, and Hashem will take care of the rest. And otherwise, people really, you know, go way overboard in that. And that's what, back inside the text now. So, avodas ha'adam, the service of a human being, is lahakir heitev v'sichlo, to recognize very well in his intellect. And also, v'lachush tos b'libo, and to feel this in his heart. Shekodesh baruch hu lo azav v'saylomo afil rega kat. That Hashem has not left this world even for the littlest moment. V'lo yazmu lo netzach netzachim, and will never, ever, ever leave this world. Okay, does everybody know that? Everybody believes that? Hayidia azu yidu heitev l'chol mamin. Every believer in this room knows this. Avodoseiruhi, but our service is shayidia hazu tichya eis l'adam b'chol nimi libo. But this knowledge should live in every fiber of your heart. V'yachisos al kol tsa'ad v'shal b'chayav. And he feels this every step of his life. V'derech hakar azu, and the way of this recognition is, and will lead you to, will help you be bound a very strong connection to the Creator. And that's what this chapter is going to be. It's a very long chapter. It's the longest one of the book. It's like mamish long. It goes all the way till page Sarichez. It's a good 27 pages. It's a big chunk. When we're finished with that, we're almost done with the book. So let's begin what he has to tell us and what the first piece of homework. There's going to be a lot of homework in this section. Yes, sir?
I just want to make one comment on that.
Okay, I know you've been...
Well, I wasn't lying to you, but... it's just one comment. It's just... I don't think it's fair to say that someone who is financially responsible, managing money and planning appropriately for whatever future they may or may not have, and making, you know, watching that they don't go into debt over their heads and go bankrupt, means that you worship money and it's idol worship. I agree you have to have a luna and you have to have faith and trust, but because you're financially responsible, does it mean that you're doing idol worship?
It depends to what degree and to what things you're cutting out to keep yourself financially responsible.
Agreed.
I didn't say you shouldn't be financially responsible. I said you shouldn't buy things that you can't afford that isn't for the will of God. And I said you shouldn't go to the Ivy League yeshiva.
Agreed. But also said, well, you might not live past 65, so God will take care of it if you do.
Oh, no, only if you have to make expenses that God requires you to make. If God presents before you this year a $30,000 expense that the Torah requires you to make, okay, and that puts you in debt, you have to go into debt. If this is a mitzvah that God says you have to do, you have to do it. There's no question about it. If that's the situation that presents itself. Now, that's not often. It's not going to happen every day. You know, but if that situation presents itself, then you have to do it. You have to do it. If, let's say, next year the schools are not going to offer any subsidies, and if you don't have the money, you don't go to school. Let's say that happens. And your kid will be in the street. You have to go into debt. According to halacha, you have to go into debt. And if that means it's going to happen for 10 years, you're going to have a $200,000 debt over 10 years, you have to do that. That's all. So,
if you can't afford to pay the debt, can't even afford to pay the interest on the debt, then what happens?
You know, then you know what? Believe it or not, you'll see things happen that are unexpected. That's where you're saying God's not running the world. God wants your child to go to the Jewish school. That is His will. He will make sure that you'll be able to do it. But you got to give Him a chance. And if you say, no, only when you bring me the money up front, then will I make that decision. God says, that's not how I work. I need to know how much you are committed. When I know how much you're committed and how much you're counting on me, then I will give you. But if you're not counting on me, why should I? I only give when I know you want it. When I know you really believe I'm the only one that's going to give it to you. And then when you live that way, Hashem gives it to you. But if you don't live that way, He doesn't give it to you. You have to be prepared to go into debt and when it's for a mitzvah. How are we gonna buy matzah for Pesach? Just put it on the credit card. It's what you need. Not you don't have to buy food to feed 50 guests that you don't have to have at your table. You don't have the money for 50 guests, you don't buy for 50 guests. But you have to have matzah and wine at the table. And your family has to. That puts you in the red. It puts you in the red. That's it. That's it. You don't have a choice. You have to do this. Believe me, when you have a family of nine, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. Okay? You know? And it just isn't making it. You know? And we're losing money. We're not breaking even. So, that's could have got a credit line. What's going to happen? That's God's problem. That's all. It's not my problem anymore. I can't. Baruch Hashem, I got the credit line that I don't have to beg and borrow from people. I'm just borrowing it from TD at 6% interest. Okay? So fine. So I'm borrowing it. And I say to God, Hashem, I'm doing this for you. You know? And you can stay up all night worrying about it. I'm not. I have to go to bed and give a shir tomorrow morning. That's all. You know? And believe me, over the course of my life, Hashem has slipped in very incredible things that I never, ever, ever, ever thought would ever come into our lives. Large amounts of money that I never dreamed, I never thought would ever come. But when I needed it, not a second before. Not even a day before when I needed it. And that's why God runs the world. He's saying, do you trust me or not? And I want you to live and to feel how I'm taking care of you. And to see that only when you needed it did I give it to you. And not a moment earlier did he give it to you. So being fiscally responsible is not the right term you want to use. Being spiritually responsible is the word you want to use. See, that's the point. If fiscal responsibility is the most important guide of making our decisions, then we're idol worshippers. If spiritual responsibility, then followed by fiscal responsibility. We're not throwing fiscal responsibility out. You know, and I learned this from a Rebbe. He's the one who said, I just write the checks. If anything I write is only what I need. I never buy anything I don't need, he said. He goes to the store and just buys himself a tie. But, you know, the kid needs a book for school. I have to buy a book for school. I just write the checks. I never bothered to look. I just don't look. And the money I get, I come in, and that's it. And I never saw him on the street. Never saw him on the street. He said, I only write checks what I need. You know, he had a job, whatever. He got paid, put the money in. And he said, you know, and things always came when he needed it. Right? But he only wrote checks for what God said he had to do. Things he didn't have to do. You want to buy a fancy, luxurious car? God never said you have to fancy. You don't have to have a BMW. You don't have to have. You don't have to have it, really. You don't have to have it. And if you're going to buy that, God said, I didn't ask you to be in such a car. What do you need it for? Does it run? Is it reasonable? That's it. And you do it. Then there's the fiscal responsibility comes after you've done the will of Hashem. Then you have to say, and now I don't have for anything more. And I don't buy anything more because I can't expect God to give me more than what I need. Right? We got a place. We got a Ford that works. Okay, that's an important point. It has to work. And if it works, then fine. You want to get a BMW? Okay, look, see, I don't know if that's the will of Hashem, period, that you should have it. Even if you have the money, you don't buy it. Even if you have the money, you don't buy it. You know, okay, if you have money to buy an extra suit, then you really could use an extra suit. Okay, fine. Yeah. It's whatever you need, that's what you buy. Whatever you don't need, you shouldn't be buying. And God is your man. He's the one who decides. He's the one who approves all the credit. You know, you got to go to the bank manager on approved credit. My mom is the bank manager is God. He's the one who's going to decide if I have a house. Hashem's going to be the one who's going to decide. You daven to Hashem before you go to the bank manager. Says me, Hashem, I really need this one because otherwise, you know, I've been borrowing on your credit for the last 5 years, and we're going to renegotiate that. Hashem, really, I need your help here. And then you go to the bank manager. That's all. So fiscally responsible is fine, but not at the expense of what the Torah says you have to do. What you have to do, you have to do. That's all. If there's somebody who's mamish in terrible financial problem, no one's helping him, and the guy mamish needs it, you got a credit line, you go pay it off for him if he needs it, within reason. What's my problem? It's another yid doesn't have. This yid's going to be in the street. Yid does not have the rent to pay. He will be in the street. So guess what? Obviously, the situation has come to me. Hashem has made me the shaliach for this guy. You know, Hashem has many, many messengers. And for some reason, this guy's depending on me. I'm friends with him, let's say, whatever it is. You know, okay. Now, again, you have to know there's laws of tzedakah that limit us as to what we do. But at certain times, say, listen, I'll take the credit line. You know, and Hashem, I helped him out, and you're going to have to, I helped one of your kids, and you're going to have to help me out, too. You have to, you know, that's already levels of bitachon. Okay, but clearly that, you know, if Hashem deems it necessary, you pay it. And that's it. And he will make sure at the end of the day you've got it. And you're seeing the debt load going higher? Don't worry about it. You know, everything that we think is important is not necessarily as important as God thinks so. All right, this is a difficult concept. It's a difficult concept to live with. But, you know, it makes a big difference in seeing certain people who are generous, who aren't generous. It's all part of that because, you know, they're worshiping this God. It's so predominant. You know, and it's these same people who are fiscally responsible who are blowing $100,000 at a wedding, but not when it comes to giving tzedakahs. All of a sudden, they're fiscally responsible when it comes to tzedakah. But when it comes for their kavod, then all of a sudden, you know, they can blow tens of thousands of dollars. You know, same people. Same people, you go and ask them for donations. I can't. You don't have to be fiscally responsible, but to show off that I can make a big wedding, that they could do. So that's, you know, that's how it works out. Yeah.
Why is the
money comes.
As you said,
yeah, see, the people who live fiscally responsible lives never see Hashem help them in their lives. because they have a different idol that they worship. So they worship that idol, they followed what the idol says, and God says, okay, you're happy with this one, you don't need me. The person goes through his whole life being very happy that he has been fiscally responsible. And therefore when a mitzvah came along, he didn't do it. I'm being extreme.
I don't think that's true. Like I look at it, I mean, the story I told at Shalosh Shuvos back in the Sukkah.
Which one?
About, you know, the whole thing with my bonus and everything. And I clearly look at Hashem saying, that was a hand of God.
Right, right.
At the end of the day,
right.
He did that for me.
Right. Okay? And now if, let's say you didn't get the bonus. And let's say they downsized in Fujitsu and Chas V'Shalom, you didn't have your job.
Very, very possible.
Yeah, okay, but you still have to pay tuition for your two kids. And it's probably close to $27,000. Right? Oh, maybe $30,000.
I wish it was.
$30,000. Can't be more than that. Really? Wow. Expensive. High school is more expensive than other ones. Anyway, so, you know, $32,000. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You lost a job, right? And the severance only is going to run for 8-9 months. And, and $32,000, that could put us in debt by the end of the year, right? Do you take them out of school or not? The fiscally responsible person would take them out of school, right? Fiscally responsible one would, right?
You could have the right priorities. No. I don't want to take the whole.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, but if let's say you haven't gotten a job for 2 years, and the savings has been eaten into now, but you still got the credit line, you put the $32,000 on the tab for this year and the next year, that's not being fiscally responsible. But these are things you have to do. So that's all I'm saying. And I'm not saying you're just totally irresponsible and just buying things, you know. Well, for Shalom Bais, the rabbi said, I should let my wife have whatever she wants. You know, and then she comes back with a credit card bill that's way beyond their means. You know, then that's not being fiscally responsible. That's not doing the will of Hashem. So that's part of it, too. So, yeah, the idea of fiscally responsible, of just spending for things you don't need, is certainly correct. It's certainly correct. I agree with that. But if it's fiscally responsible versus head-to-head the will of Hashem, and it's either or, then you have to just not be fiscally responsible. That's the point that we're making here. And that I think you'll agree with. You'll agree with that point. Okay. And the person who does that will see Hashem will help them. He will see that Hashem will help them. And that will work. All right, let's go on to the first task. Pay test. The first most difficult thing we have to work on. So let's begin to explain this idea of God's supervision. Be'ovin klali, in a general way, we're on 89 now. In a general way, ma'is adam iskalkim l'beis chalokim. A person's activities are divided up into two parts. Yesh es ma'ash adam magdir dvarim ketanim. There are things that people define as small things in life. V'yesh es ma'ash adam magdir dvarim gedol. There are things that people define as big things in life. Well, Marshall, what's a big thing? Knias dira, buying a house. Zivuk, finding a shidduch. Uchadoyme, or things like that. Those are big things in life. Having a child. You know, death. Right? Those are big things. Is that a big thing you're going through? Oh, it's a big thing I'm going through now.
Big.
No, when those things are happening, ha'adam roi oisam kidvarim gedoylim. People see this as big things. Lo kol yom machlifim dira, not every day do you move. Lo chas v'shalom bekalas machlifim isha. And you don't readily get rid of wives, right? Or a husband, right? You don't do that often, right? So now, when you come to the big things, in these types of situations, in the big things, when we're talking about the believers now, by many, many of the believers, you can feel God's divine hand. When a big thing's coming up, you start talking to God. Right? You start talking to God. Right? You're 28 years old and you're not married, you're talking to God. Right? You're talking to God. Or if you're a girl and you're 20 and you're not married, you're talking to God. It's a big thing. The wedding day is coming up. You're hopefully, you know, you're talking to God. Right? You're looking for a house. You're putting in an offer. You're praying to God, Hashem, make sure they take our offer. We want to move. Is that right? And you involve God. And they feel that they need Hashem's help. You see, when you feel that things are beyond your control, then you look for Hashem to help you. Let's say somebody that you love is very sick, and you ask, and the doctor said, we can't do anything to help you. Then all of a sudden you start talking to God, big time. Right? So if you're, these are the big things. The big things in life, for believers at least, I'm not talking about non-believers, but believers, a big thing happens, you know it's a big thing, you need Hashem's help. You're going to ask Him for Himself. You do all kinds of things. You're going to try to find a special prayer. Rabbi, do you have a special prayer? We haven't had any kids for a couple of years. Can you give me a special prayer for a kid? Mechaps and schools. We look for schools. We look for charms. Start putting on the red threads. It's important. You can tell when a guy's wife's in the ninth month. Why? Because he never comes to shul. All of a sudden, he's here on a Monday. Why? So he can get psicha. Because it's a skula for a good delivery. So he's here to do a psicha. It's very nice. Very nice he came to shul. That would be nice if he came all the time. Oh, it's a big thing. She's in the ninth month. Now it's serious. Now we need God on our side. Right? Umachab sim schuyas, and you look for merits. No, maybe we should. The person's sick. How about if we all commit not to talk lashon hara? All of a sudden, when it's the big things, in this person's merit, we're going to do this. We're going to go visit a holy rabbi. He'll give us a blessing. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that necessarily, but here's the problem. But when things relate to just the simple, boring day-to-day activities, the little things that make up your daily life, you have to get up, you have to drive the car to shul. Did anybody daven to Hashem? Hashem, please make sure my car gets here. What do you mean? It just happens. What do I need Hashem's help for? I need Hashem's help to take a 3-minute car drive? I don't need Hashem's help. That I can do on my own.
That's in your car.
I don't need Hashem. So he says, Shem, in that area, derech hateva, the nature of a person, is mashkiach minam, causes the person to forget, as a sechira mitas, the real things to remember. Just like a shidduch is dependent on Hashem. Kemamish kol prat uprat, next page. B'chai Adam, every detail in a person's life. V'afila hakotin b'yosa, even the littlest details. Munag rak al yada yisbarach shmo. They're all directed by Hashem, the littlest thing. You're in line into Sobeis, you're looking for a line, and you want the quicker line. And all of a sudden it opens up. When you're coming to the counter, you say, Hashem, please, I need a quicker line. It's getting close to Shabbos. Well, maybe that's a big thing for you. Well, how about on Wednesday? Hashem, give me a good line, please. Let me find someone who can check me out quickly and they're not on the first day of training. They'll be 25 minutes instead of 4 minutes. Hashem, please, and I know you're directing, and if you're going to make me take a long time, it's because you want me to do some meditation. I've been thinking about you, and now I have a lot of time to meditate in this line. It's not just, I guess bad luck, I got a bad person, To realize, Hashem is deciding how quickly your line is going to go through in Sobeis, if you're getting a better parking spot in the plaza. Right? All these things, Hashem is the one who's deciding. Do we think about Hashem? Do we talk to Hashem at those trivial moments of life? So to this, there's a Gemara in Brachos. The Brachos quotes King David, who says, "Al zos yispal kol chassid ba'es mitzvah." For this, every pious person should pray at the time when it comes. So the Gemara asks, so what kind of time are we talking about? So the Gemara first says, finding a shidduch. When it's time for a shidduch, you should daven. Another one says the time of death, you should daven. Other says that for your funeral, you should daven. Those are important things. You want to make sure people are there to bury you. Then the end of the Gemara says, you know, for a good bathroom, you should daven. When you go to the bathroom, you should daven. Then the Gemara ends, and the rabbis in Israel said, you know what? The last one, that's the most important one. Pretty funny Gemara. We talk about important things in life. Marriage, death, burial, going to the bathroom. Shvamish daven, you know, daven that everything works out okay in the bathroom. What do you mean everything works out? I go 7-8 times a day. That's a trivial thing. No. You, that's a good time to daven. It's a good time. Even when you're 20. I'm not talking when you're 75, and that could be a 85, where that's a life and death experience sometimes. But when you're 20 years old, healthy, it's just in and out. So what's going on with the Gemara? So this is what the Gemara is asking. The Gemara is saying, where should a person feel most inspired to daven to Hashem? When should you feel that you mamish need Hashem's help? You know? So they're saying, when you're going to get daven, when you're finding a shidduch, you need Hashem's help. Yeah, this and that. It says, you know what? Even the simplest thing in your life needs Hashem's help. And the rabbi Zinner says, and you know what? If you daven to Hashem that way, then your mom is a chassid. If you only daven to Hashem when you need a shidduch and when you have a problem, okay, that's better than not asking him. But Hashem says, what am I, a spare tire? Only when the tires are out, you go to the trunk and look for me? How about when things are going really well? And you're doing things that, you know, don't appear to be, you know, life or death. It's just good old fashioned going to the washroom. You know? And it's not a problem for you. It's like goes well all the time. Right? That's the time to daven Hashem. That's when you have to focus on Hashem, because he's making sure that everything works well over there as well. That's what Gemara means. The original Rav, he says, you know, the famous contradiction in the Torah by, and you can read it every morning, in the Shira Sayam, in the Song of the Sea, where it says the Jews passed inside the sea on dry land. And then it says another pasuk, the Jewish people passed in Bayabasha on the dry land inside the sea. So what is it? Was it dry land in the sea or the sea in dry land? So the Vilagon gives an answer. The original Rebbe says, what's the point? The point is a Jew has to know that walking through dry land is as miraculous as walking through water. You need Hashem to walk in the street. You need to walk from your car into here. You needed Hashem 100% to get into this base medrash. You needed his help. Because at a moment, you could be paralyzed. Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. God says, you know, I'm not going to send any protons and neutrons to your toes for a moment. Let's see what happens. You fall down. Elderly people, we know, yeah, it happens. You know, it happens because they fall down. So the fact that you're young, you're not elderly, doesn't mean you didn't need Hashem's help. Right? So that's the real trick in Avodas Hashem, is that you got to realize that you need Hashem's help in every little aspect. And this is what's going to be further elaborated on with all kinds of details and examples, Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow morning.